This is Smeagol. When I'm not trying to protect my precious from wicked, tricksy hobbitses, I'm listening to the Part-Time Fanboy Podcast. They talk about many things that you filthy fanboys will love to listen to. And while you're listening, make sure you follow them on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and any social media on which you can find them. What is Twitter? Is it a bird? Is it tasty? Can I eat it? I can't eat Twitter. Smeagol is so sad. Smeagol wants to eat Twitter. Well, if I can't eat Twitter, I'll go listen to the Part-Time Fanboy Podcast. It will make Smeagol happy again. Happy, happy, happy! Just make sure you don't touch my precious while I'm listening.
Part-time fanboy doing my thing.
More powerful than a locomotive.
I'm here doing part. I'm here doing part-time. I'm here doing part. I'm here doing part-time. Part-timefanboy.com.
Sounds good. Well, let's begin the discussion, shall we?
Yes.
Yay! Yes.
Well, welcome to the Part-Time Fanboy Podcast. My name is Christian Horn. I am on the line with my good friends, Ivis Cannavale.
I'm live from New Jersey.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
yes.
So late.
The shores of where in Jersey?
I'm in fabulous, beautiful Montvale, New Jersey.
Oh, don't knock it. I'm from Leonia. So there you go. Yeah. And then we also have, Paul Edwards, and last but not least, the woman who inspired me to watch this movie, Reina Velarde. Yes, but well, by the time this airs, it will be the beginning of October, and this is a thing that I like to do every Halloween season, which is basically go through a bunch of horror movies and sort of turn the Part-Time Fanboy Podcast into sort of a mini horror movie podcast. So this week we're going to go through like every week of October, and hopefully we will have a new horror movie every week. This week we are chatting about Child's Play, the 88 classic from the 80s, which I had never seen before. I had never seen in my life. I had never.
I was actually 50-50 if we were doing the new one or old one for some reason, because life. But I'm glad you got to watch the original, and I didn't realize you hadn't watched the OG.
No, I've never seen the original. I was thinking about trying to watch the new one, but I just never got around to it. And I was happy with having seen the first one. I think Child's Play was sort of like one of your ideas for last year, Reina, and we ended up picking like other stuff. So I was like, finally, let's do this. Let's do this Child's Play. And, just for anyone listening, it is available if you have an Amazon Prime account for free on Amazon. That's how I watched it. I think it's still available on DVD or whatever, or, you know, old-fashioned style. But in any case, I actually watched it like last weekend. After my wife fell asleep on the couch watching something else. So, I have to say that as a new viewer of this, and as somebody with very low expectations, I loved it.
Yay!
I have
Yay!
To say, I really,
Welcome
really,
to the club.
I enjoyed
now
it.
Now you have to watch 2 and 3.
2 and 3, really? Do I have to watch the rest of them?
I think you should. I think this is one of the like franchises that did a really good job of all three movies, and like arguably two and three are better. Like,
oh, really?
I think this one is good in like its roots. It's, you know, the pacing is really good. It's really creepy. It's the origin story. But two and three take it different places. Like, two's a little faster pace. Mm-hmm. Three then takes it a whole different route that I think is nice and fun, but still in the same world. I don't think they like go too far out of that main world that is created in the first one, like a lot of other ones do.
Right.
Where all of a sudden it's super crazy and like, wait, those aren't, they're not even the same cast members. So yeah, I think this one does a good job of being really cohesive. So yeah, two and three.
Oh, okay. Which one is the one with Tammy Faye Baker in it?
Oh my that's goodness. Bride I have of
Chucky,
no
right? Or something.
Tammy Faye Baker?
Yeah.
Yeah, she does show up in one of the Chucky movies.
Maybe it's four or five. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a franchise that has like taken a lot of twists and turns, but I'm so glad you got to see where it all started, because where it started was really fun.
Yeah, I was very surprised.
Chucky to go into outer space.
Does he eventually go into outer space?
No, absolutely.
No, he doesn't. That's what makes it so amazingly original.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have to say, you know, having never seen this before, I was expecting, I mean, the thing of it is, I guess the reason I never watched it, because the idea of sort of like a doll coming to life, just, and I think that if I remember correctly, some of the trivia, that it might have been inspired by the Cabbage Patch craze, the Cabbage Patch doll craze. And yeah. I think they might have even sued the creators of Child's Play, like the Cabbage Patch, the people that made the Cabbage Patch dolls. But I remember never sort of like, you know, even as an adult, thinking that that would play like really well for me. But, you know, having watched this first one, I thought it was a real, real fun ride. I mean, I you know, it went to sort of places that... it definitely went to places, or it came from places, or things happened that I didn't necessarily expect. I didn't expect like the whole voodoo background, like sort of like, you know, the way that he sort of, Chucky becomes like a sentient creature, you know, and I suppose we should talk a little bit about the plot, of the movie, like what it's about. But yeah, I have to say, I enjoyed where the movie took me. I actually I don't think I was like scared necessarily at any point, or it freaked me out, but I thought Chucky was enough of a little bastard to just like make me laugh enough and make me go like, oh, that's hysterical, you know, stuff like that. So it very much entertained me. But one of the things that I'm interested in, Raina, is because you had seemed to be like really into it last year. What is it that you really love about Child's Play? Like, why are you such sort of like an advocate of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think from being an advocate of just the whole series, minus Seed of Chucky, that doesn't exist, that never happened. you can skip over that one for sure. I just think that like I like the perspective of like they have to do the little Chucky cam, just like his kills, how he's snarky and kind of a Freddy Cougar-esque kind of way that like they make people like Nightmare on Elm Street movies. Uh-huh. And then even like the Bride of Chucky when he comes back, like I just love Brad Dourif's voice. Like he just does a good creepy job of being the Chucky's voice. But I think in the Bride of Chucky, especially where we start to go take the ride more from the villain's perspective than the victim's perspective. And I think that's cool, because obviously I like playing villains and I like seeing their perspective, but I think that's really what I like. Especially as a kid, I liked his character, and then to like kind of grow up and rewatch it and like realize, oh, this is also commentary on capitalism, right? That we all have to go get our Cabbage Patch dolls or whatever the hype toy is, so much so forth that we'll get it from some shady dude in a back alley for, you know, half price or whatever.
Which is what happened with the Cabbage Patch dolls, right? I mean, there were people like buying bootlegs or buying them off the street. It was such a craze.
Yeah, it was a tremendous craze. I mean, and America tends to run through crazes like that, you know, like where like an idea will spread and like everybody just kind of runs with it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was cool, I think, yeah, that the first Child's Play movie did sort of comment on that a little bit. But also the fact that, yeah, you've got like a Dourif is a great villain, you know, mm-hmm. like, and you're absolutely right about how this series eventually sort of, it becomes less about the people and more about Chucky, you know, as the series goes along. But,
and I think also like even commentary on 2 and 3, like without spoiling it super much, like the second one, there's a lot of commentary on kind of like the foster care system, and the third one, like on militarism.
Oh, really?
Militarism. Yeah. Yeah. There's some interesting stuff in both of them. Like I could sit down and watch any of them at any point in the show, if it like was on TV right now, and just be on for the ride.
Oh, wow.
And that's a good one is coming. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. It's from the days, you know, where people they made sequels to movies. They didn't like make franchises out of them, you know.
Sure.
Like, they didn't expect to necessarily have one big long cohesive story. They just had like, you know, the movies that kind of tied in, you know. Yeah, this one picks up right after the other one, you know. And but this one ends up, funny enough, having one of the more cohesive like stories throughout. It's one of those movies that sort of like breaks a bunch of rules while it, you know, seems like it's following the trope that I'm just talking now.
Well, Evis, how about some of your thoughts? Did you get a chance to watch it again? Or
yes, I did actually. I got up at 5 a.m. to watch it down in the lobby of my hotel.
No way.
Ooh.
Yeah, because I was staying with somebody and I didn't want to disturb, and I really wanted to watch the film. It's been, I would say, about 15 years since I've seen the movie.
Uh-huh.
And, well, and
how did you watch it? Was it on a laptop or?
Yeah, it's on my laptop on Amazon Prime.
Nice.
Okay.
And I came away actually loving it even more than I did originally.
Uh-huh. Oh, cool.
I liked it before, but I just was like, oh, killer doll, whatever. And then I watched it today, finished it off today, and I'm like, this film is genuinely really good. It's like you, Chris, said, Chris, it's not, I wasn't scared, but there were some really great, intense moments. And it's one of the few films where the kid actor doesn't bother the shit out of me.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, in fact, the scene where he sees Chucky climbing the stairs and he's trying to tell the doctor that Chucky's coming after him.
Yeah.
And the doctor, you know, backs off and leaves, and he just slides down. He's so, and I my heart broke, and I was like, wow, that was great. It was a nice little moment. I loved the doll effects. I thought that was amazing stuff. I actually think I read that they used that Alex, the actor who played Alex, they used his little sister to do some of the movements for Chucky.
Oh, really? Yeah. I mean, yeah. I definitely found myself wondering a lot of times what, like, was there a kid in that suit, or like, how did they make him move? Because some of his movements, you know, it didn't seem like you would have like a little person in there. They seemed, you know, he seemed to be very agile and like move like not even like a kid. So I was wondering, like, how did they get, does anybody know anything about that? Because I was kind of like stunned as to how well the doll got up and moved around a lot of times.
Yeah. It's a brilliant mix of like stuff, you know, like they one of the things that is kind of amazing about this movie is that it was made for such a low budget at
really?
The time too.
It seems it's got a big budget. There's some big explosions,
six million.
Yeah.
Okay.
Million, which you know was which you know isn't wasn't small back then, but you know wasn't huge either.
Yeah.
I had to double check it. I actually have his autograph that I found at a thrift store up in Joshua Tree. It's Ed Gale plays the Chucky stunt double.
Oh,
and
really?
So there's a combination of the animatronic of the Chucky and the actor Ed Gale walking around as him for certain stunts. So you're totally right.
Oh wow, that's amazing. Yeah, I mean, I have to say, like, I really, like, maybe it's because so much of this stuff has become, you know, there's sort of like, there's a Twilight Zone episode with like a dummy and, you know, what are they called, dummies? Like a puppet or like a not a mannequin.
Talking about the Talking Tina episode?
Yeah, no, well, there's Talking Tina, and then there's the one with, what's his name?
The mannequins?
Yeah, no, not the mannequins. With the, you know, the ventriloquist dummy.
The ventriloquist dummy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, there's definitely a lot of tropes and stuff that's borrowed from that. But I really enjoyed sort of like the slow burn of like Chucky's sort of awareness becoming evident to everyone. And I really love like sort of, well, I mean, we haven't really talked about like what the movie's about for like the maybe one person out there who's never heard of Child's Play. But obviously it's about sort of like a Cabbage Patch like doll, although the doll is huge. It's like a gigantic doll that gets possessed by the spirit of a, is he a serial killer? Is that what he is? Or is he just a murderer?
Well, I think at this point he's murdered enough people to be dubbed a serial killer. I would say Charles Lee Ray, yeah.
Sure, and Charles Lee Ray, played by Brad Dourif, who's excellent, is like kind of cornered in the beginning of the movie in a confrontation with a cop, played by Chris Sarandon, and there's sort of, he casts a spell and transfers his essence into the body of a doll. And it's funny because during the whole spell casting, the toy store blows up, and I was like thinking, well, how does the doll get out of there? like the toy store blew up, like who's going to, you know, find the doll? But they, you know, they explain that, I think Evis or somebody mentioned it before, that the mom ends up buying it like at a discount price in an alley. But the slow burn of like Chucky sort of like whispering stuff to the kid, and the kid says something at one point to the mom, like, hey, mommy, Chucky says if you don't do this, he's going to effing kill you, or something like that. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, I was like very taken aback by that, that they would like have the kid just sort of like speak like that, and that a kid would just blurt that out. You know what I mean? But I thought it was kind of fun in its own way, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I loved you know what, even though I knew, I shouldn't say I knew, but you know that, you know, there's the essence, but when the mom, and I think I'm jumping ahead here, but when the reveal that the doll has no batteries, that the batteries.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, I was like, oh my God, like I didn't even think about it. Like, and I've always loved Tom Holland's writing. I loved him. I loved his writing on Psycho 2. This, I think he did Cloak and Dagger as well.
Oh, really? The Henry Thomas movie?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm looking at his credits right now. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, and so he really, I really admire how he kind of weaves things, you know, just weaves the stories along so well, and then adds those little touches to really enhance the intensity, the suspense, and everything. Although I will say, you know, for a doll, everyone seems to get their asses handed to them by a fucking doll. Yeah. I was like, wow, really? Like, Chris Sarandon looked like he didn't even want to be in the film, but, you know, God bless him. He gave it his all.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
even when he's getting hit in the head looked like a pinata mallet. And I'm like, okay, sure, go for it. But Elver, I mean, it's just, I think it's such a beautifully woven and fun little film.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, for me, the biggest sort of problem that I had with it was kind of, there's definitely some things in the writing where I was like, really? And I had, like you said, like Chris Sarandon, he's kind of like a block of wood in this movie. He's kind of like walking around playing the stereotypical kind of Chicago cop with a New York accent, and doesn't make sense to me. But like, there were definitely moments where Catherine Hicks, the mom, in the movie, where some of her acting where I was just like, yeah, it just didn't click with me, where I was like, yeah, I don't buy you right now, you know what I mean? Particularly sort of like maybe when she was kind of like freaking out at points. But but the little kid I found to be like not necessarily like what you would consider like a good child actor, but I found him to be like very authentic. Like, you, mm-hmm. like it felt like he was like really sort of like going through like the movie. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. He was a great protagonist, you know, I mean, because you I think he does a really good job, especially, you know, as he starts, you know, he's telling the truth and no one's believing him, you know, yeah. Like, and it's, you know, it's, that's sort of a kid's worst nightmare, you know, that you would like tell, you know, the truth and that no one believes you, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, they set up that teacher to be such a wench. Like I loved how she died. And I think that's the other thing too, is that like, the writing slash the, you know, performance like sets up the audience for you to want Chucky to kill some of these people.
Yeah.
Right? And like that continues on, right, throughout the series, where you just encounter like a lot of good horror movies do, these people that you're just like, yeah, kill them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where sometimes you write it where you want to feel remorse, oh, they're dying. And sometimes I think you write it so that you want the audience to turn and make it almost like, oh, I want them to die. What?
Well, I think
maybe that's just me.
Yeah. Well, it's cool that Child's Play sort of has it both ways, because usually a movie's one way or the other.
Mm.
You know, mm-hmm. like they want to. You've got like your hero, and you're only identifying with him. You know, and like you're very like, you know, this is the kid does a really good job of like just selling how freaked out he is by this whole situation. Yeah. You know, and because it is, it's a freaky situation. You know,
because like, with the wrong kid actor, the movie then would also turn into like, yeah, kill the kid too.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because he does such a good job, you empathize with him a lot more, and you want Chucky to live. Yeah.
Well, you also sort of empathize with his situation, right? Like, he has the babysitter over, which, first of all, I want to mention that actress, because I think she's great. She really helped uplift the beginning of the movie. Her name is Dina Manoff, and she was in Grease, a lot of other stuff. I recognized her immediately. I was like, oh, wow, that's great that she's in this. And, yeah, I thought she added a little bit of a light touch to the beginning, sort of being like, not the kooky best friend, but the one with the sense of humor, the one, you know, the one that kept things light and everything like that. And the fact that, you know, spoilers for anybody listening to this, the fact that she's sort of like the first victim, and which, by the way, I have to say, an awesome stunt. When she gets thrown out the window and you see like her descent, like all the way. That's why I was like, this is a cheap movie. Like I was like, this thing had a budget, but the fact that she gets kind of like thrown out the window and the way that sort of like it occurs, I just found like, oh wow, you killed off like my favorite character. I felt like, you know, because quite honestly, you know, as a parent, I had sympathy for the mom, like in a way, but the one with the best personality to me was, you know, Maggie, the character of Maggie, which was her best friend, which I feel like in maybe almost any other horror movie would have survived a bit longer. But the fact that they took her out first, I was kind of bummed. I was like, oh, man, because she was kind of fun.
Yeah. And I like it that they even like made it seem like the kid could have done it with the feet print and whatnot that matched.
Yeah. Him. Yeah.
That also angle too, that the kid is now a suspect.
Yeah.
That was nice, but even I'm like, I'm not a detective, but I don't think those shoe sizes match.
Well,
that's how big the Chucky doll is, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, the doll's pretty big, but yeah, the whole like
the doll's pretty big. I like that.
And I don't think it was like the full print, just the fact that it said like Buddy or whatever the logo. That
Had the hammer on the feet. It had the hammer on the shoe and the. And something else on it too. I remember seeing that.
Well, he had the big boy pajamas, right? They were called Big Boy, right? That's the name of the doll and stuff.
Buddy.
Yeah. Or Buddy Boy. Was that what it was? Or I can't remember. But
I think they were. Yeah, I think it was called like
Good Guy.
Good Guy. Okay, that was it.
Good Guy Doll. Good Guy Doll.
Because there was an actual doll called the My Buddy.
The My Buddy doll.
Yes, My Buddy. My Buddy, wherever I go, he goes, My Buddy. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I remember those. Oh, my God. That's taking me back. But
that's totally a Child's Play doll right there. The My Buddy was essentially a Child's Play doll.
You're not wrong. Yeah. I mean, this was the era of, like, Teddy Ruxpin, right? So, to me, this was, like, a combination of, like, Teddy Ruxpin and Cabbage Patch dolls, where it was, like...
Oh, for sure, yeah.
But I do have to say, like... For And you know, there's a TV show based on it. That's why the kid wants the doll, right? There's like an animated show. So this is definitely during that era of TV too, where it's like He-Man and G.I. Joe and like all these things are put on.
This is a massively 80s movie. It's a product. Well, that's one of the things that's cool about it is that it's like, it's a definite product of its time, you know, like it feels like, you know, like, oh yeah, they've got VCRs. They've got like, you know, it's one of the first sort of horror movies that was set in the modern technology age.
And
may I say, I was more frightened of the mascot that was on the show that Alex was watching than actually
for real.
That lumbering creature frightened me more than that than Chucky ever could.
Agreed.
I mean, but there's definitely a couple of like going back to sort of like the murder of the best friend. There's definitely a couple of leaps that, you know, happen in the script. And I think Evis is talking about them where it's basically like, really, we're going to do this? Like, you know, the kid, they all of a sudden, like they suspect the kid like right away. And, you know, the reporter from the Incredible Hulk shows up and basically like takes the kid away, like right away. Like there's no if, ands or buts. And it's like, wait a minute. First of all, there's like rules about kids. You can't just like question a kid without the mom. You know what I mean? Like they're like ready to throw this kid away into a mental institution, Michael Myers style. And, and it just, that sort of,
it's bit, movie like, logic, Christian, it's movie logic.
Yeah. It's definitely low budget 80s movie logic for sure. Because I was like, wow. So, and not only did they throw him into a mental institution, but it's like the dingiest, like crappiest like place that you would want to put a kid, like you know what I mean? It's this horrible, like gray, terrible, like, you know, not for kids at all, it seemed like to me.
So what you're saying is that you could accept the walking talking doll, but you know, the practicalities of
I can't. I
which,
can't
by
well,
the way
okay
I
so think, I, no go ahead go ahead
I think it's brilliant that they did go like a spiritual route, because like for a lot of people, the spiritual, like spooky stuff, like, oh, I'm scared of The Conjuring because ghosts could be real, kind of, I think, gets most of the audience like to believe, like, oh, voodoo, got it. Instead of some other type of explanation. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, no, that's really a good point, though, is that it really wipes out all like sort of like willing suspension of disbelief. It's like, oh, we're just gonna, it's just magic. And just go with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For me, you know, the bits of jumps of logic, you know, it's like, okay, we're going to take the kid right away. There's like no, you know, sort of like, are we sure about this? And then, you know, it seems like kind of like a harsh thing to do, like right off the bat. And then, you know, as soon as, so like Chucky, after the murder, there's like a scene where she kind of confronts the doll, right? And she's like, wake up or start talking. And then he's like, shut up, you bitch, or whatever he says. And there's like a decent sort of like fight in the living room where she's like trying to escape from Chucky. And at no point does this woman, from the point that she escapes Chucky's assault to the point where she's going to go find Chris Sarandon, the cop, does she ever think, like, maybe if I tell the cop that the doll is alive and that he attacked me, that the cop will not think that that's true? Like, you know what I mean? Like, she just approaches him, like, sort of just like this happened and my son is right. The doll's alive and you should believe me. And it was, like, very much like, you know, I understand that we have to get the script moving along, but I felt like there was a different way that we could have approached that. You know what I mean? And then she's like, even worse, she's like, I'm going to go in the middle of the night and find the vagrant in the worst part of town.
Right.
And tell him where he got the doll.
Yeah.
A bunch of people.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's definitely a lot of like, I understand that, you know, I have to believe in the fact that a doll has been possessed by a serial killer. But once we sort of get to the point where the mom is sort of like, you know, gone off the range, she's going off the rails, there's a bit of me that's like, yeah, okay. And quite honestly, there was a scene where she shows up at the apartment, like after her friend has been murdered, and she runs into the apartment and her and Chris Sarandon are going to talk. Like, and there's a bit of a moment where it's like an actor forgot their line moment, where it's like they forgot who was going to talk first. Where if like, if you watch that again, like I caught it like immediately. I was like, somebody forgot their line and they left that in. I was like, because she's like up and he goes up. And then somebody says the line that they forgot. And I was like, somebody forgot like who was supposed to talk first in that scene.
What's funny too, though, is like that's where the low budget, like sort of thing comes in. Like you see that it wasn't, that you can see why it wasn't like, you know, the big thing on Universal's release slate, you know, but, but it caught on, you know, it definitely did well, you know, obviously well enough to get all the sequels and everything. And sure. And it's a really good looking movie too. I mean, like Raina said earlier, Chucky Cam was like such a cool thing because Chucky like, Cam. It was a new perspective of again putting you in that in the doll's like perspective was sort of a genius move.
The thing that I just realized that, you know, thinking as we're talking, I think Evis and I both mentioned like I wasn't scared, but what did shock me was just how kind of mean the guy in the doll was, you know, like the way he talked. That kind of shocked me, where I was like,
oh yeah,
wow.
He's a serial killer.
yeah, I know, but it's just, it, the doll didn't scare me, but he shocked me in the way of like, wow, that voice coming out of that doll's face, you know, it's kind of stunning, you know what I mean?
I see. I got you.
And the way that he's, the way that he talks, the things that he says are very just like, oh, wow. They're, you know, and so coming out of that head, which, you know, let's face it, it's kind of a creepy doll to begin with, much like the Cabbage Patch dolls. I found it to be a bit, I found that to be like, not creepy, but just like, ew, off-putting, where I was like, yeah, I don't want that doll in my house. I would want it even less in my house now.
I have several Chucky dolls in our house.
Did you really?
I have a little one. I have a little tiny action figure one. I have a full-size one. I have a full-size Tiffany doll. I have a medium Tiffany doll. I have a large messed up Tiffany doll that somebody threw into the back of my alleyway at an apartment that I lived at in Long Beach, which is kind of creepy, but I kept
it. So you got it at an alley, did you get just it from, like in the movie?
Did you get it from the same panhandler?
So what happened was I had my two creepy Chucky dolls facing out the back window of my apartment. And I have this little patio that's fenced in. And one day, a disheveled Tiffany doll ended up back there.
Creepier than anything in the movie. I cannot believe it. That's so funny.
She died in the back of the house.
Yeah, like, so you're like a hardcore Child's Play person.
Yeah, bro, that's why I wanted to do it last time.
That's so funny.
Yeah, oh, it goes, God. Texas Chainsaw Massacre is my one. Chucky is my two.
Wow. So let's go a little bit more into that. Like, when did you first see it? How old were you?
I mean, probably when it came out. So hold on. 3, 4, 6, 7.
So you saw it in the theater?
No, I couldn't have seen it in the theater. I was 5. But I mean, it wasn't far off because I saw Texas Chainsaw when I was 8.
Wow.
So it had to have been something I rented at the, you know, Video 2000 in my hometown.
And this was a movie that like pretty quickly like went into rotation on cable. Like,
yeah.
You know, when cable
Yeah, or
first
I could have just
out,
saw it on,
like,
yeah.
There were times where like you could see nothing but Child's Play.
I saw the original It when I was like 9.
Oh, well, the TV miniseries?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. With John Ritter and all
probably,
that.
Probably.
Yeah.
That was on TV, though. That doesn't count. Child's Play is kind of like hardcore horror. And Texas Chainsaw, forget about it. It's like, I don't
even
know.
I'm telling you. I'm like, Colin will be fine.
No, she would not be fine. I guarantee you, she would not be fine.
I
can tell you right now. But
yeah, she's well adjusted. I'm not. Don't let her watch anything. You're doing a good job.
So far, so good. No, but so I mean, as the story sort of goes along, you discover that he had sort of a partner, right? What's his face?
Mm-hmm.
Charles Lee
getaway
Ray.
Guy who got away without him.
Yeah, who got away without him.
His voodoo partner.
And somehow he convinces this little boy to get him on the... Oh, no. Are we talking about the voodoo partner? Or was there a guy before that?
There was the guy in the getaway car that ran away, drove off when before he went into the toy store. But then it's the voodoo guy.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. You're right. I'm meshing them together. It's the other guy. He goes and he does the voodoo stuff too.
Yeah.
With the little voodoo doll where he twists his arm and then gets on.
Oh yeah, the guy. He's like, you perverted my powerful evil. It's like, you're switching bodies. What else are you gonna do with that?
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a good way of doing that. I had no clue.
Well, I love how the little kid basically, you know, takes him into the dodgiest neighborhood in, again, I believe it's Chicago.
Yeah.
And in the middle of winter, and the kid's just like, dum-de-dum-de-dum, oh, is that where we're going? And, you know, he basically cons the kid into taking the doll, you know, over to commit murder of his, you know, getaway partner, right?
Yeah.
And then they eventually discover that getting to the actual voodoo, I don't know what he is. Is he a priest? Is he just a practitioner? I don't know. But like what is it?
It can make things switch bodies. I mean, that's whatever level of voodoo you are.
He's got a PhD in voodoo.
Is he serpent in the rainbow voodoo? Is he spawn, live and let die voodoo? What are we talking here?
Yeah. What are we talking about?
This is more live and let die voodoo than it is.
this is the 7-Up guy.
But the whole reason that he goes after the voodoo guy, right, is because he's the only one that can. What was it? It was that if he killed him, there would be no way to get him out of the body, or like, what was it? I'm having a hard time remembering.
Well, because basically his essence is merging with the doll and becoming flesh. That's why he said he could.
The longer he's in that body, the more he becomes that.
Exactly. And so figure out a way to get out of that body. And then, you know, voodoo guy's like, you know, telling him, but then at the same time goes, you can't do it because you're evil and you're an abomination.
The mandala,
that's what it was. It was they had to kill the voodoo guy because eventually the Chucky doll would be able to possess the body of the little boy over time. And they were trying to find the voodoo guy, you know, from, he was trying to prevent the voodoo guy from telling anyone that. And eventually they showed up too late. Right.
I think that's a good summation.
Yeah. I mean, he lived long enough to explain that aspect to the mom and detective.
Yeah. And so then the race is on to get to the kid who at this point is in the dodgiest mental institution with the reporter from The Incredible Hulk watching over him. And it's sort of like a race to get to Chucky before he can transfer his body over to the little boy, which I think... That was probably like going towards that, the killing of the voodoo sort of priest and all that funky stuff was some of the best Chucky stuff in the whole movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the fact that he was breaking the arm and the legs of the voodoo doll. And you just saw the bones crack on the other guy. It was great.
Yeah. And, sort of like getting to the mental institution and, what is it that happens to Chucky at the end? Because I watched this last weekend. Does the whole place get blown up or something? Like, he gets burned, correct?
Look
at the house. At the mother, house. Mom's house.
I'm sorry, which house?
Mom's house. They have the big final...
Oh, that's right. And that's the big explosion, right?
Yeah, his body burst through the air vent.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay.
And he chokes the cop with his little hands. It's so cute.
He chokes the cop with his little hands. That's right. They make it over to the apartment and they're
he's all charred. You're right. He gets all burned.
He gets all burned and you think he's dead. And of course, like in every other horror movie, he's not, correct?
Yeah. He's like the Terminator.
Yeah, he did look like sort of Terminator-ish, right?
They blew his head off and like part of his leg and he's still crawling.
it was great. It was a great final confrontation scene, I thought.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I was just reading a little bit about Don Mancini, who's basically the creator of Chucky. Yeah.
Oh, really?
And yeah, he.
He also did Bubba Hotep.
Oh, he's the. Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's the writer, right?
Yes. Yeah. One of the writers. Well, major writer, I guess. He's the main writer.
There's like four people credited to the screenplay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so anyway, he was talking about like how he wanted to do a killer doll, like the talkie, you know, the Twilight Zone.
Talkie Tina.
Yeah.
That he wanted to do a killer doll movie, but with updated animatronics. Mm-hmm. And that the Cabbage Patch thing was the definite influence.
Yep. Totally.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. But I sort of remember, like I said before, that they got sued by Cabbage Patch because they were like pissed that like that you kind of like were like making this doll more make it look like a Cabbage Patch doll.
Is that a thing? Did that happen?
I believe that happened.
I didn't see.
Okay. we were kind of running that down, but I don't think we ever got to that.
Sure.
But so, I did. So if we're going back to things, Tammy Faye Baker was not in Child's Play.
She wasn't in Child's Play like 3 or 4.
No, she's not credited for any Child's Play. I looked it up.
Oh, I thought it was her. Am I wrong?
Yes.
Who's Bride of Chucky then?
That's
the Bride of Chucky. Tiffany.
That's Jennifer Tilly.
Jennifer Tilly. Oh, I thought it was Tammy Faye Baker. I thought she got cast in one.
Damn.
Yeah.
You confused those two.
I've never seen the movie.
Tammy Faye Baker is hella old.
Wasn't she
in bed?
And hey, just to clarify, Jim Baker was not Jason Voorhees. Let's clarify that.
No, let's make it. Okay, big mistake on my part. I thought that she was in one of the Child's Play movie and she was like, sort of stunt casting.
Are you talking about like when they did, what was it? Ava Gardner on the Dick Cavett thing on the Freddy movie?
No, I don't know anything about that.
There's I'm trying to remember which one where it's a scene where Dick Cavett's interviewing not Ava Gardner. What's her name? The Gabors, one of the Gabors. And then Freddy pops out and then basically kills her before, you know, and then, you know, so that's what I thought you were talking about. Sorry.
No. Well, okay. So basically I think Child's Play, you know, I thought it was fun. I mean, I had never seen it before. I thought it was a, you know, really neat ride. And I mean, yeah, I definitely would probably check out the next couple. I mean, I may be the only sort of horror fan, you know, in the United States right now who has never seen this movie, but now I've seen it and I'm sort of glad to have been introduced to this, you know, what do we call it? Do we call it a franchise? Movies, sequels, whatever?
Series.
I'm assuming that you've seen the remake, Raina. What did you think about that? That had Mark Hamill as the voice, correct?
So I went in, like I do with most remakes, all the Texas Chainsaw Massacres, kind of like with a ho-hum, this is not the original, and I cross my fists, and I don't have any expectations, or I have high expectations because I want it to be something good, and not fuck up the franchise. And I liked it. I liked the new Child's Play. I liked the direction that it went. I don't want to spoil it for you if you want to go see it, but I do recommend that one too. Because I think they remade it by taking a fresh direction and also making that direction really creepy.
For sure.
Like, the doll's extra creepy, like Black Mirror creepy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a neat way of like redoing it that doesn't like, I mean, it's its own thing. It doesn't disrespect, you know, the franchise at all. It's just a reconceptualization of what Chucky could be. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Is there any of the voodoo and stuff in the, like, you know, that sort of thing? Is that carried over?
I don't want to spoil it for you.
Oh, okay. All right. And Mark Hamill does the voice in that one.
Another good child actor though. We were just talking about that too. What's interesting is that I think that it's the one of the main like strengths of this series is the strength of like sort of the straight man who's with Chucky, you know, like because they treat Chucky like he's a real legitimate threat. And so, and by their belief, like, you know, like the actors really sell, do a great job of selling Chucky. That continued too in the new movie, I thought as well.
In thinking about it, I think it might be creepier.
Really? Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, like I think I could hang out with original Chucky. I don't want to hang out with this Chucky. And
oh wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, I should, you know, before we sort of sign off on the whole thing, I should go back and sort of like reassess my opinion of Catherine Hicks, the actress that played the mom, because I mean, I do feel that there are moments of sort of like normalcy where she kind of like flubs like her behavior a little bit, but in the moments where she has to confront Chucky and the moments where she has to face off against the doll, like the fighting scenes and a lot of the, you know, sort of like final confrontation where he's sort of in, like, that was the thing that cracked me up too, was the whole like voodoo sort of ceremony that he's trying to, that you've got this little doll trying to pull off like a voodoo ceremony standing over the little boy's body. That kind of cracked me up. But, you know, for the most part, like when she had to deal with like this freaking crazy doll, you know, she was spot on, you know, so I don't, and I feel like maybe, you know, earlier on, I'm giving her a little bit of the short shrift because I mean, like Paul said, I mean, this wasn't like a giant budgeted movie either.
Yeah.
No, I was impressed with the fact that, you know, she's a single mom who's struggling, who works at a jewel, like, you know, behind the counter at a department store, but had a really decent place. Like, I want that place.
Yeah. Back in the days where you could afford a place like that, maybe.
Yeah. You know, she's got a really nice stuff, and yet she's buying, you know, doll from the back, you know, of a shopping cart in the back alley.
Well, listen, it's either a night. What was the original present that she got him where he was like, I wanted the doll.
Like a hammer set or something?
Yeah. She got him the good guy tool set.
The good guy tool set. That's what it was. Well, no, it's funny. She got him clothes first, and the kid's like, got a sad face. And I'm seriously sitting there, like, as a parent, going, like, really? That's all you got your kid was, like, what did she give him? Like, socks or something? Like, I can't remember.
She got him a pair of pants.
A pair of pants? I'm like, really? For his birthday? I was like, no, you don't get a little kid clothes as their main present. And then she like gives him the toolbox and he's kind of happy, but he's kind of disappointed too, which, you know, I feel like it's really weird. Evis is talking about how nice her place is. I'm like, why do you think the place is nice, kid? It's because you don't have any dolls. You know what I mean? It's like, there's a trade-off there.
So you're accusing the mom of being neglectful. Is this what I'm hearing?
No, I'm accusing the mom of like giving him a nice place to live instead of giving him some crappy doll that's going to end up killing the whole family.
So he's being unappreciative.
Yes, exactly. Degenerate. Okay.
All right. I just want to clarify this.
In the research that I did after I watched the movie, I sort of remember that they brought the kid back when he was an adult in some of the later movies. Does anyone want to speak to that? Does he play the same character? Raina, do you remember any of that?
You talking about the same kid?
Yeah, the same kid.
I believe it's the same kid for 2, and then it's an older actor for 3.
Hold on. I'm going to look him up. That's
what I'm doing.
And I believe that he comes back in some of the later movies.
He comes back in the later movies.
Cult of Chucky. Yeah, as an adult. He plays the same character, correct. I think.
He's in that movie alongside Brad Dourif's daughter actually. Shows up.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, are those any good? Well, didn't you say what was it? Cult of Chucky's no good. Is that what it was?
He didn't do three.
Cult of Chucky's great.
Really?
Seed of Chucky is the one that doesn't exist.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, there's Curse of Chucky, Cult of Chucky. Those are the more recent ones. I'll have to see. How many movies are there? Jesus, like 10?
I don't know. There's like, 1, 2, 3. I think there's like 7 or 8.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. Well, you know, I'm going to say that I am a Chucky convert. I am a Child's Play convert. At first I thought, oh, wow, the silly movie, I'm probably not going to enjoy it. But it had enough of a sense of humor, enough of a sense of menace to it that, you know, I ended up really digging it. And I'll hopefully check out some of the others in the future.
Biggest smile on my face.
That's great. Any other thoughts on Child's Play, the first movie, or any others in general before we sort of sign off here?
See them, but don't show them to your children.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah, show them to your children.
Or show them
to your children. They'll be fine. They'll grow up to be chainsaw wielding maniacs.
Texas Chainsaw. Show a double bill of Texas Chainsaw. Yeah, yeah. No, I don't recommend it. although we love Raina, I don't know that that's the best child rearing advice. But then I'm only talking about my child. I'm not talking about yours out there. Well, all right. This has been the beginning of our sort of Halloween episodes. We have been talking about the 1988 version of Child's Play, which I very much enjoyed. I may be checking some more of them out. Thank you for everyone for joining me on this re-examination of the movie. I have had on the line Paul Edwards, Reina Velarde, and Ivis Cannavale. And my name, as always, is Christian Horn. This has been the Part-Time Fanboy Podcast. You can check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that wonderful social media stuff. Our email is ptf@parttimefanboy.com. Thank you for listening. And we will be back soon with another episode. Bye.
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 I'm your friend to the end.
Nice. Awesome.
Part-Time Fanboy. Part-time.